Blog Talk Radio.
Another edition of Fighting Words and the Fighting Words News Network. Fighting Words is brought to you each and every night of the week. In grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women police fire services, the doctors and nurses and first responders for COVID, and of course, the wonderful people in the supermarket who did a great job of keeping the shelves stocked during the pandemic. Tonight, we start the program with a little heavy heart here. Our resident UFC fighter, Bob is on the line with us. Bob has contributed to us for the last 5 years, every week faithfully, has done a great job. But due to work change, Bob won't be with us anymore. So we'll be laying that heavy burden on Caden. At 17 years old, he has to carry your water now, Bob.
Yeah, I packed a big bag for the guilt trip, so I'm prepared.
I'll tell you what, man, it's been a legendary 3-year run with me and you taking over the MMA.
Yeah, this is, you know, we're a guy short at work. They're moving me around. It could come back here first. So.
Well, I hope it doesn't take long and that you're back on with us. We really appreciate this, and we certainly appreciate all the work that your wife has done for the United States Navy over her whole career. So please give her our best wishes. I was hoping Tony would be on with us early, but he'll be running a little late. But see, did you happen to catch that fight last night where Frankie hit the mat in the second round?
Oh my goodness! Yes, I did. And I'm gonna tell you something. Looking at now, you're talking about Anthony Joshua and Nagano?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Looking at that, Anthony Joshua, he looked like Tommy Hearns. I thought I was looking at a heavyweight Tommy Hearns. And what happened? I knew Joshua would. I knew levels would show in this. I knew Joshua wouldn't play around with him. Joshua was not.
Right.
As I've said, before the fight. You know, Tyson Fury, he's a guy, he's going to come in. He's not taking it as serious. You can tell his shape, and you can tell his demeanor in the ring. He wasn't tossing, punches that hard. Anthony Joshua, not to say who's better as far as him and Tyson Fury, he's just incapable of that level. He is, like every time he touches the ring, he's there to fight. He's not capable of playing with you. And I knew that would be the case. What I didn't expect was the power. I knew the sharpness, he was capable of maybe dropping the guy, but he put him to sleep. And he did, a boxing term. He used his range, he used his attributes, and more important than anything, the footwork. It was a big footwork difference. And it just showed. It showed. So, and the guy knew. All props to him. He came in and he fought two of the best heavyweights.
Right.
But I just knew that it was going to end bad for him. So.
Okay. Hey, Bob, what do you think of UFC 78 Vegas? You had Oliveira knocked off, what the heck is his name? Young? Did you happen to catch that one? Bob?
I don't think Oliveira didn't fight last UFC fight night. It was Rosenstruck, Cesaro Rosenstruck. And he won in, either decision or he won in the fourth round.
It was a decision. I was not muted again.
Okay.
Yeah, our last UFC, he didn't. Oliveira didn't fight last week. It was Rosenstruck versus Gazeev or Shamino Gazeev. But you're going out of order right now, so you're throwing me.
Okay. Let's go ahead with Caden's buddy. Magurgana Dunabada. How do you say that, Caden? You're Magadana Dina.
Oh,
I believe he's talking about Umar Nurmagomedov.
Umar Nurmagomedov. Yeah, Umar.
Terrible.
My guy.
Oh,
Umar is my guy. He's definitely one of those part of that Russian invasion that's been happening in the UFC over the past like 10-12 years. And Mokaev, I believe that's Mokaev. I kind of want to talk more about him than talk about Umar Nurmagomedov. Mokaev is taking the UFC by storm, and this is a fighter. This is a name that you have to remember. This man is like 24, and he's going to be, or maybe he might even be 20. He's going to be one of the youngest UFC champions of all time, in my opinion, once he gets up to that level. But definitely keep an eye on him. His most recent win.
You got it? Caden, you all right?
Oh, my God. I've been on that entire time. What did I not say?
When did I go? You were talking about the
right after you stated his name.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. Remember Mokaev's name. Remember Umar Nurmagomedov's name. But Mohammed Mokaev is definitely a name that you have in the record books for future reference, because he will be one of the youngest UFC champions of all time. Umar Nurmagomedov, he shows the levels, definitely shows that classic Russian style of fighting, but I don't believe he's ready just yet. And Muhammad Mokaev, get all these guys' names mixed up, he is a guy who may not be ready right now, but you give him 2 years, a year, and he's going to be a UFC champion. I'll put money on it. I'm willing to put money on it. He will be a UFC champion within the next 3 years, no doubt.
Okay.
Well, last week, Umar Nurmagomedov, bantamweight fighter, survived a knockdown by Bezgat Alkemen. Yeah, so came in his fight, but he did come out with the victory. He remains undefeated, moving to 17-0, and then he called out Corey Sanhagen. So that's the one that's the back on my list. So I'm in order now.
But talking about some young guys, Raul Rosas Jr., he had to pull out from another fight. I think it's like the three fights in a row that he's been scheduled from that he's had to pull out of. And I think it's mostly because his parents are like, it's like something about school. Maybe he's not doing good in school, or he was out partying too late. And they wouldn't let him fight, but that's a massive obstacle in his career right now.
Sure.
Something that you'd never think a UFC fighter would have to deal with is his parents not letting him fight because he's too young, because he's partying. But, hey, there it is.
He's doing more pulling out than his parents did.
Sure.
Probably paying the bills.
Yeah.
Hey, Z, what do you think of Berlanger versus McCoy?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Berlanger versus McCoy.
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with those two guys.
Okay, Berlanger took McCoy down with a knockout in the sixth round. It's an up and coming middleweight that he took the fight right to McCoy, knocked him around. Next thing you know, he came back. You know, second round, third round was so, but by the fourth round, he was not prepared to go to 10 for sure. And he made it to the sixth before he got knocked out. But how about Haney versus Garcia?
That's going to be an interesting fight. What I'm going to amount to really is has Ryan Garcia learned anything new? And has he worked on anything new outside of the left hook? Because if all he's going to come to the ring with is, I mean, Ryan is fast. He's talented. But to be honest, he relies on that left hook a little too much. And that if that's all he's going to bring to the ring, Haney's going to end up picking him apart. I definitely worry about the hydration clause, if there's a hydration clause, because Haney does come to the ring awfully big. With that said, that the really only transfers as far as him is durability. Haney's not the hardest puncher. So I don't see him knocking Ryan Garcia out. I can see him stopping Ryan Garcia with accumulation, because Haney does go to the body well when he's
when he sees it. But I mean, as far as boxing skill, Haney is, you know, he's capable of out dancing circles, boxing circles around Ryan Garcia. He just has to worry about that powerful left. If Ryan Garcia has worked on something different, then he can probably, I mean, he's capable of getting his power in. If he's worked on maybe the jab, maybe a little bit of footwork, even defense, that way maybe he can sneak a counter or something in. But if he hasn't worked on anything different, you know, and like really, really worked on it in the gym, you know, Ryan's still young, so he could soak some things up. You know, his game is not totally rounded off. I mean, he Ryan's dangerous in this fight, but I mean, I lean heavily toward Haney.
You know, after those the sparring videos got released between Haney and Gervonta Davis, I know Haney was only 16 in those videos, but I want to see that fight more than anything in boxing right now.
And that fight would be made, but to be honest, it's the hydration thing. When you're signed for a 140-pound fight and you're allowed to hydrate to 165 pounds, that's a little much. I mean, the other guy, you're going to outweigh him by like 15 pounds probably. And that, not to mention it's dangerous to the body to keep doing that fast. It's just, that does give an unfair advantage to a point. You're fighting a guy two weight classes above you. And to be honest, Davis he's still in that 135-pound mold. Yeah, of course he went up to 140-pound and knocked Burrows, though. But, I mean, outside of that, Davis is a 135-pound fighter. Now, he could, as I say, if they would meet, they would sign for 140 pounds. But, Davis doesn't want to do it just because he wants the hydration clause in there. And Haney, Team Haney said that they won't do that. So that's kind of their sticking point.
But is Ryan Garcia really in the right headspace to make some fights right now? I know he's been kind of off the deep end with some of the stuff that he's been exposing online with really some crazy stuff that he's been exposing over the last couple of weeks. I don't know if you heard about that.
So go ahead. I heard a little bit about it, but Mom, you go ahead. You can please elaborate on it.
There was he was saying a lot of crazy stuff about some Hollywood elites and world elites, like forcing him to watch some like really horrible sexually explicit acts done on minors and different stuff of that nature. And I don't know. It was really crazy. I was watching. He was doing this live broadcast. And he was freaking out, talking about how they're going to kill him and stuff. He's like, I'm scared for my life. And, some really, really wild stuff.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, that's we're going off the map of fighting. So that is a very good question. Is he in the right headspace to take a fight? To be honest, this is a big fight. That Tank Davis fight and this fight, these are his big fights. And when you have an opportunity like that, you definitely want to have your head right. You don't need outside distractions. But at the same time, Ryan Garcia is the draw. He's the guy that has the big following. He has a big, social media following. Haney, he has a problem drawing water, to be honest. But, I mean, this here is going to give him, that platform to where maybe, if he beats Garcia impressively, he'll have that following. But back to the point, Ryan Garcia, he's intelligent. I've heard interviews with him. He's a very intelligent individual. And you never know. There are a lot of tricks, there are a lot of unseen tricks in boxing to where, he might want Haney, to think, Team Haney to think that he's in a bad headspace. He might just, be doing some things just for the following. That it might not be totally authentic, what he's doing. At the same time, if it is, then this is a bad fight to be. I mean, any fight's a bad fight to do it with, but when you know one of your biggest fights of your career, you really, really kind of want to settle yourself down and keep things simple. You know, and
what
Bob
you want to be locked
being
in
a professional
on that one
fighter. Yeah, Bob being a professional fighter knows much better than anybody, you know, here that you really, really kind of want to simplify things. You don't want, you know, to have this going on, that going on, that going on, and then have to go into a camp and work out, you know, and get ready for a major fight on top of that. So, you know, Ryan Garcia really, really, you know, I you know, wish the man, the young man, the best, you know, in what he's doing, because this is the hurt game. You know, he's not going to hit, you know, a ball's not going to be hit, you know, in your head. You know, this is a dangerous thing to not have your head space in. So
that's right.
You know, you really, really kind of want to, you know, settle that down. You know, and I wish him the best.
Do they get a banana bag clause in boxing like they do MMA now? I mean, as far as like cutting that much weight, how you can rehydrate and stuff. Is there a clause?
The thing
or no?
Well, not in this fight. And you know, not and generally in boxing, that's always individual, you know, the promotion. There's no real regulation in boxing, to be honest. So it's always a fight-by-fight basis. It's whatever, you know, the promoters, you know, agree to, the fighters agree to, and whatever's on the contract. So, yeah, I mean, as far as the clause goes, that, you know, that's – in this fight, I believe there's no rehydration clause. So, you know, any fighter can go up as heavy as they want. As I say, that I don't like that to an extent. I think there should be like a ceiling on how you know heavy you can rehydrate. But you know that as I say, there's no regulation in it. And if the opposing fighter agrees, then that's you know that's what it is.
Hey, Bob, they keep adding to the UFC 301. I see again, and they added again another fighter this week. Can you enlighten us about that?
Yeah, they added Elves Brenner versus all these names. Mikatikibik. That's just fun saying that. I'm going to do that one more time. Mikatikibik. Alabani. But anyway, Brenner 16-3. Versus Orabani 12-1. So again, he's an up and comer. But Brenner was one of those breakthrough fighters at 2023. So they're really keeping their eye on him. And but you know the kudos to Makatikovic because you know he's going up a weight class.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey, Caden, I know you're studying the UFC 299. I want you to enlighten our listeners on 299.
I'll start before I even go in by saying this might be one of the greatest UFC cards on paper that we've ever seen, ever. Even the prelims is a star-studded cast. Even the early prelims are a star-studded cast. I was watching it before I hopped on, and it started off with Joanne Wood. Which was an all right fight. It was a crazy spinning back fist to really clinch the fight for her in the end. That she ended up retiring, and a nice up and coming guy Asu Almabayev. And then there was a handful. And then there was really the fight. One of the fights that was one of the most highly anticipated fights of the entire card, and it was the third fight of the night. And one of the most highly anticipated fighters who hasn't had a UFC fight, one of the most highest anticipated UFC debuts ever. There's two of them on this card. One of them is later on in the card. But Robeles Despagne, this is a 6'7", 260-pound Cuban monster who this fight, his last three fights combined were 19 seconds long. 19 seconds in three fights. And then he comes in here, gets a knockout after landing two punches, and both of the punches were off balance. He was walking back through two right hooks and knocked the dude out. It was insane. It was everything I wanted and more. And you got the always exciting Michel Pereira who got the submission win in round one. And then moving on to the preliminary card, Pedro Munhoz is fighting Rafael dos Anjos versus Matheus Gamrot. This might be RDA Rafael dos Anjos' last fight. So keep an eye on that one. It's a UFC legend. Hopefully he gets that perfect little swan song out. But you know, with the level opposition of Matheus Gamrot, I don't think it's going to be that easy for Rafael this time around. I don't think he'll make it out with the win. Too sad, too bad. But the main card is absolutely insane. It is
what
insane.
What about Curtis Blaydes and Delphine Almeida?
Oh, yeah,
I mean, that's
a heavy rush over that one. Curtis Blaydes, my boy Curtis Blaydes is fighting. But I honestly don't know if he's going to win this one. Delphine Almeida is good on the ground. And Curtis Blaydes isn't. But hoping the best for my boy Curtis.
But
moving on
think?
To the.
Okay, go ahead, Katie. Sorry.
Let him finish.
Yeah,
let him finish.
Yeah.
Moving on to the main card, you have Piotr Jan versus up and coming Song Yadong. Song Yadong, he was before that loss he took. I forget who he lost to, but he was one of the most explosive prospects in the UFC at the time. He still is one of the most explosive prospects in the UFC, going up against who once was one of the greatest pound-for-pound strikers in UFC history, Piotr Jan. But his last three fights have not gone his way at all. It started off with those Aljamain Sterling fights, and really, he thought he won that first one. We thought he really clutched up in that last round. It really could have gone either way. But it didn't go his way. Went the Aljamain Sterling way. They had that rematch,
Sedan lost to Sanhagen.
What do you say?
Sedan lost to Sanhagen was his. He's off with two wins, but his big loss was UFC Fight Night against Corey Sanhagen for Sedan.
This fight is going to be a striking masterclass.
But yeah,
with the form that Piotr Jan has been in, I don't think he's going to be able to bring this one out. I hope he is, because I've always loved Piotr Jan. He's always been a big Piotr Jan fan. But I don't know if he's going to be able to keep up with Song Yadong this time around. But hopefully he proves me wrong. My boy Gilbert Burns is up next against Jack Maddalena. I'm probably butchering that, but... it is what it is. Gilbert Burns, one of the most exciting fighters in the UFC, going up against he's an exciting striker in Jack Della. I'm just calling him Jack. I don't even want to say his last name. It's too long. Going up against Jack is he's a good striker. I've never really been a massive fan of his. I don't really know why. He hasn't been the most exciting in my point of view. But hoping Gilbert Burns get the win, I do think that's how it's going to happen. But I don't think it'll be classic Gilbert Burns fashion. I think it'll be more of him using his wrestling and his jiu-jitsu to get the submission, probably somewhere in round two or round three. And then you're moving on.
Jack's
to Jack's got
speed though, so that Jack be nimble.
That is definitely true. But one of the most exciting and awaited UFC debuts behind. Maybe not even behind. This may be even ahead of Michael Chandler and Robles de España earlier on in this card. Michael Venom Page, MVP, baby, coming in here against Kevin Holland. And this is a fight that could really go either way. If Kevin Holland were really to utilize his ground game in this fight, I think he can come out with it. But if they're going to keep it to the striking, I do think that MVP will show levels. He will show levels against Kevin Holland. He's been maybe my favorite fighter outside of the UFC for the past couple of years now. I remember when he did that flying knee, and he legitimately broke this guy's face. Like he shattered his skull with his knee, and they threw a pokeball at him. He threw a pokeball at him while he was still on the ground. That was so amazing. It was hilarious. Love this guy. Definitely waiting to see him win. And this co-main and main event is beautiful. It is beautiful. Dustin Poirier versus Benoit St. Denis. I think that Benoit Saint-Denis is going to take this win. And, you know, I'm sorry for all the Poirier fans out there. I'm a McGregor fan, so I'm riding heavy on Poirier getting knocked out. Getting knocked out in the first two rounds. That's what I'm hoping happens. That's what I think will happen. But in that main event versus Sean O'Malley and Marlon Vera, that first fight didn't go Sean's way. It's his only loss on his record. But, you know, he broke his leg in that fight. He broke his leg pretty disgusting fashion in that first Marlon Vera fight.
Was it his ankle or his foot? I couldn't tell.
What do you say?
Was it his ankle or his foot? I couldn't really tell the way he stepped back, you know what I mean, what he was there. When O'Malley broke his foot or whatever, was it his actual ankle or his foot from the kick?
I just remember there being some bendage, and they kind of just called it. That was that. But before that, I didn't think that he was doing, that Sean was doing that bad. That was one of Sean's first big fights in the UFC, and that was his first big loss, and he's recovered amazingly from it. Obviously, he's the UFC champion right now, and Marlon Vera isn't.
Right.
But, again, I do think this will be one of those fights that people will think is going to be a really, really close, but I don't think so. I think Sean O'Malley is going to go in there, do his thing, get the fight done, and I think he'll be leaving the arena a little bit earlier than expected. What about you?
That Vera looks pretty tough. And if you look at the whole one side of the main event card tonight, it is, I mean, every one of those guys, Peter Yan, Gilbert Burns, Kevin Holland, Dustin Poirier, Sean O'Malley, like was a main event card in their own right at some point or another.
Yeah.
So everyone else. Yeah, dude. Everyone else on the other side, Song Yadong, Jack B. Nimble, Della Maddalena or whatever, Michael Page, Benoit. That Benoit St. Denis, man, that guy's a freaking beast. But then, and Marlon Vera, it's almost, other than the Sean O'Malley, Marlon Vera, it's like all the other guys are like the up-and-comers that are taking off the wannabe kings. You know what I mean? It's hard to watch. You know, I'm always voting for the older guy, but this new run of youngsters is something to be trifled with or reckoned with there.
Oh, yeah. And it's always exciting, too. It's always exciting when you have a nice up-and-coming guy coming in.
Hey, Steve, what do you think about David Benavidez moving up in weight class?
You know what? He's a little too heavy for him to me. I think if he's not fighting for the big money, if he's not fighting Canelo, there's no reason for him to stay at 168.
Right.
Believe that. And right now, you know, Canelo signed, I think he signed a fight with Jaime Munguia.
Right.
Canelo left PBC. So right now, you know, I'm not sure exactly who's promoting him, but I know he's not with PBC anymore. Jaime Munguia is with Golden Boy. Canelo had worked previously with Golden Boy. So they still have a pretty good relationship, apparently. The only thing is this. After this Jaime Munguia fight, let's see where Canelo goes. If Benavidez moves up to 175, it's still possible that, he could get the Canelo fight, but it's highly unlikely. And I think Canelo, he's waiting. He's not really, interested. Everybody's clamoring to fight him, to fight Benavidez, but there's all, this Canelo is the money guy. So whoever he fights, he's going to generate, his income. With Benavidez, I just think that he is a struggle for him to make 168. You know, there's been a few times that he's come to fights over the limit. So it only makes sense for him to move up in weight.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to ask all you guys this one. It was announced this week that Mike Tyson's coming out of retirement. He's going to fight our favorite person, Jake Paul. I'll ask you first, Steve, is that an exhibition or is that going to be hard out? Because they didn't like each other.
Well, back in the day, it wouldn't have been an exhibition. It wouldn't
not
have been
at all.
An exhibition at all. Not
at all.
Not at all.
Tyson had too much ego 10 years ago. 10 years ago, there would have been no expedition. Tyson would have knocked him out no matter what. But now Tyson in it for the money, maybe. You know?
Back in the day, this would have been a death sentence.
Death sentence, and that's what I want. I would pay for it. I would pay for it if it just got if I knew it was going to get. Then I would invest. I would freaking invest other people's money. I would get everything involved.
I mean, for Jake Paul's benefit, I mean, he better hope it's an exhibition. I mean, it's as simple as that. The good part is the Roy Jones fight before when Mike Tyson fought Roy Jones.
Yeah,
we saw that there that Mike Tyson's very capable of not letting it, you know, fully go. But one thing I'm going to say is this: Mike Tyson, you know, never has he proven to be the most predictable person. So you kind of never know. I mean, it's kind of on the edge of your seat. Like, you know, he might just say, you know what, this guy's talking a lot of smack to me. You know, I'll go ahead and, you know, put a little smoke on him. And, I mean, because there's nothing Jake Paul could do to Mike Tyson. I mean, you know, he's a lot younger. And he's taller. You know, he's longer. There's nothing he could do to Mike Tyson. I mean, Mike Tyson is ancient years advanced. Thousands of years advanced in boxing and just boxing knowledge than Jake Paul is. I mean, Jake Paul, he's worked on this for a couple of years. He's dedicated himself to this. I'm going to say that about the kid. But with that said, you're going from Tommy Fury to Mike Tyson? I mean, it cannot be a serious fight. Or, I mean, they can't sanction this as a serious fight. I mean, and to me, I don't think so, but – you know, Jake Paul's been more active than Mike Tyson. He's younger. He's going to have to move, you know, gain bulk up a little bit, you know, to be heavyweight. So, I mean, and that's going to take some dimensions that he's been used to as lighter. He's not going to be as fast. He might not have the cardio as much. So, I mean, it's going to, you know, I can't say it. You know, I have to break it down in the terms of exhibition. I can't break it down in terms of a fight because it cannot be a fight. It really, just for us to be entertained, it can't be serious. Simple as that.
Mm-hmm. Mike Tyson Tyson has lost more power in his older years than Jake Paul's ever had in his life. You know? So, I mean, Jake Paul could not survive one of Tyson's. Like, you know, you've been around a long time. Like, you can tell when it's an exhibition and something's going, and then the one person messes up and hits the good guy a little hard, and then the good guy's face changes just a little bit, and you know it's not fun anymore. He's going to prove a point, you know, and he gets the big dog licking. That's what I hope happens. I hope Jake Paul gets a little too cocky and actually lands something crisp on Tyson, and Tyson loses his shit and just puts that guy away. I hope they have to surgically remove Tyson's hands from that man's body. I just hope it's over.
What I've never understood about these Jake Paul fights is he's setting himself up to get ridiculed win or loss. You know, if he loses, you just got your ass kicked by a 60-year-old man. But if he wins, you just kicked a 60-year-old man's ass. Like, bravo.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Mike Tyson,
there's no way.
If I can beat Mike Tyson, I don't care. I'm 900 years old. That's Mike Tyson.
I give Mike Tyson. I mean, Jake Paul has less of a chance than Francis Ngannou.
Yeah.
I mean, Ngannou's a lot fresher to boxing than Jake Paul. But Ngannou, I mean, it's a difference because one thing is this. Jake Paul it's different than mentalities. Jake Paul's a YouTube guy in generational mentalities. Mike Tyson is a Brownsville street bully. He was a Brownsville street bully. Jake Paul has never encountered anything like that. So, I mean, he's an old school, and those guys, you know, Mike Tyson is eating punches round after round from Evander Holyfield. There's nothing, Jake Paul. I mean, even at an advanced age, Mike Tyson's not just a nut that you're going to crack. I don't care what, if Jake Paul, he can mess up and hit Mike Tyson as hard as he wants. There's nothing that he could do to Mike Tyson. There's nothing. Physically, he can't do anything to Mike Tyson, and he better not do anything mentally to him. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Okay. So, I guess, give me your update again on O'Malley versus Vera tonight, Caden.
I think it'll be a strike show, and I think it'll be a lot easier for Sean than people are making it out to be. Just mm-hmm. because of what happened in their last fight with Cheeto getting the win. But you look at Marlon Vera's wins and you subtract the Sean O'Malley fight, because the Sean O'Malley fight, to me, it doesn't count. Sean O'Malley got injured. He damn near broke his mm-hmm. leg in that fight. So I think for that one, I'm going to strike that win from that UFC win or UFC big win over mm-hmm. from Fido. And you look at his other quote unquote big wins, and you know, you see guys I forgot his name, but they're all older out of the prime fighters, or they're just fighters that are mid. You know what I mean? They're not title contenders. Mm-hmm. He's never fought and beaten a title contender in his entire career, in the UFC at least. He might have mm-hmm. fought and beaten a title contender in a lesser promotion. Hasn't done that in UFC yet. So for me to mm-hmm. think he's going to come in here and beat the brakes off of Sean O'Malley is, to me, outlandish to think that. I think it'll be the Sean O'Malley show, or how Sean O'Malley says it, the sugar show. It'll be the sugar show all night. And I don't think mm-hmm. this fight goes longer than 3 rounds.
Whoa. Good.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Good.
Bold prediction. Tony cooking pro?
Tony's working. Yeah.
Yeah, because Vera was a little bit more aggressive, I think, in their first encounter than I anticipated. And O'Malley was more the counter striker. O'Malley was landing more of the clean shots on Vera last time they met, but he looked a lot more relaxed. So I don't know with the pressure if Vera can put on the pressure tonight, but O'Malley does look like he was when their first. Meeting the more calm of the two, the more relaxed of the two fighters, or if it wasn't for the leg break. So I'm curious to see how their second encounter works.
Him as a UFC fighter has grown so much from that fight as well, because after that fight, he got popped positive for PEDs, and even though it was just like 0.00 grams, he still got popped positive for it. And I believe it was just like some random, like, over-the-counter drugstore thing that he bought. And, it wasn't like he was trying to cheat or take steroids or anything like that. But either way, more or less, he got popped positive, and he was banned for an extended amount of time. And ever since mm-hmm. that, we've seen a different fighter out of Sean O'Malley. Even since that loss, mm-hmm. we've seen a different mentality out of Sean O'Malley. And if Marlon Vera thinks he's going to go in there and fight the same fighter he did a couple of years ago, he's sorely mistaken. His game has changed to a more aggressive, sniper style. And if I'm going to guess exactly how this is going to go, I'm going to say he eats him up with the 1-2s. And it'll be one of those things where, Cheeto kind of just stumbles into the corner and curls up like a little boy and gets the whoop on. That's what I think is going to happen.
Dang.
Hey, I'm sorry. I'm a big Sean O'Malley guy, man. I want my boy to win.
Yeah, I see that. Hey, Z, what do you think about Tank Davis, a match between Tank Davis and Frank Martin?
Yeah, right now, I'm glad to see Tank getting back active, to be honest. I don't mind, the back and forth of social media, because that helps promote a fight. But too much of it seems to be, the guys are, instead of, fighting, guys are doing social media things. They're doing more talking than fighting. And to me, if you're a fighter, fight, instead of waiting for the right fight, or trying to talk your way into this fight, or Yeah, it's too much of that going. It's too much politics going on. You know, those guys are politicking, and, you know, nobody's getting down to the business. The guys who prove their worth, you know, those are the guys, you know, maybe it's me. Maybe it's me, and I'm just from a place, you know, I'm just from a thought process to where you have to show. And, you know, instead of going talking too much, you have to, yeah, you have to eventually show what you're going to do. You know, so, I mean, I don't, like, Tank, you know, he's shown to be a great fighter, you know, pretty good fighter, you know, actually a pretty great fighter. But, you know, where's the legacy chasing? You know, where's, you know, instead of setting up and talking your way into things, promote yourself by fighting. You know, whatever happened to that? You know, promoting yourself by this guy, you know, every time he comes in the ring, you know, he's impressing me. That's going mm-hmm. away. So, yeah, I like the fact he's getting back active. Should do it more. That's a simple, you know, all these guys should do it more. That's why I have mm-hmm. to give Devin Haney a lot of credit. You know, he's been looking to fight the top guys, and he's been actively doing things. So, I have no problem with that.
Okay. That's where there's a big swing in MMA right now as well with, you know, the last, you know, mass or genre or era, I guess you could say, has come to an end. The activity era for champions has come to an end in the UFC a little bit. You're having a lot of inactive fighters as champions, like Volk. Volk is one of the most active fighters ever. Usman. Usman would take a fight all the time. Adesanya, always taking fights. And this era, especially even in Ghana, taking fights left and right. Like, we've never seen a championship group like that come and take fights as often as they did. And now every single one of those fighters is no longer a champion in the UFC. You have John Jones, who doesn't even – he's ready. He doesn't even want to fight Tom Aspinall, who's the interim champion, who is my guy. To me, I think if they fight, Tom Aspinall is whooping John Jones. You know, I'm a big John Jones guy too. I know that's a bold statement, but I don't think we'll ever see that fight just because John Jones has that GOAT privilege, which he's earned that GOAT privilege because, you know, he's fought the best of the best and he's won against the best of the best. So mm-hmm. I guess he might have the right to choose and fight whenever he wants, but. Definitely not a good era. You know, the inactivity mm-hmm. era doesn't even have a good name.
Exactly. Like the heavy, and you mentioned it well, that you have the heavyweight champion. You have to have an interim title because everybody's inactive. That's mm-hmm. kind of what's going on. So, you're absolutely right.
Let me ask you this, all three of you, this. We'll start with Bob. What do you see for Ngannou now? Will he try to resurrect his UFC style, get back in the UFC, or will he just go off into the sunset?
It depends on how much he got paid. You know what I mean? Because, again, like, he wanted to prove, in my opinion, he was, you know, top heavyweight in the UFC there, and he was looking to get paid, and Dana wasn't paying out. Dana wasn't giving him his dues, so he left there and went to boxing and was trying to get paid. So if he got that payout that he was looking for, he could comfortably retire. Because Dana, out of pride alone, Dana's a good businessman, but out of pride alone, Dana won't bring Ngannou back. So Ngannou would have to go BKC or something like that. Dana's got too much pride to bring him back for the money that he deserves. So if he can stay in boxing and get another fight after this and get paid more, I think he'll stay there. But I don't think he's going to go back to MMA. I don't think it's available to him. I mean, he's just going to – because he wants that top elite payday, and he's getting probably paid way better over in boxing.
What do you think?
A massive factor, because before he fought Tyson Fury, right after he left the UFC, what multi-fight contract did he sign? He signed with the PFL, and he hasn't fought a singular time in the PFL, and he signed a multi-fight contract with them. So he's definitely going to have to at some point, I don't know what the details of that contract are, but just from the fact that he signed that contract, under my impression, I believe he'd have to fight at least once in the PFL.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
I think for you know what, in a guy who, how old is he? 30 what? 37. Yeah, I think that it would be a backward move for him to go to the UFC. Personally, I think Dana would have him back as far as just because of revenue. Dana has a lot of pride. One thing Dana is not, and Bob said it, he's a very smart businessman. The money would be big enough for Ngannou to come back to UFC, and I believe Dana would take that money. With that said, I mean, if you're going to do anything, the money, as both you guys, the money in boxing, he has two fights, and he probably made off those two fights than he would have off of 10 fights in the UFC. There's no way that he should leave that avenue when he could probably take one more boxing match. And, you know, just because his name is still there, you know, just don't fight any of the top guys, but fight somebody who has a little bit of name. And you can probably ride off into the sunset. He's 37 years old, doesn't need to go back to the UFC. You know, take that. That's kind of taking a pay cut. So, nah, he shouldn't do that.
What about that PFL contract, though? What would he do with that? Would he have to abandon that contract?
Well, that's for boxing, right?
No, that's for MMA.
MMA?
It's a playoff fighting league. It's definitely a lot higher payout than MMA. Well, not MMA. And then UFC, the contract that he did sign with them. But in that contract, they were letting him explore the boxing realm. Just so he could get his money right, and he always wanted to be a boxer. You know, he started MMA really, really late on into his life, and before MMA, he always wanted to be a boxer. So that was like a main clause that he had in that contract with PFL, is to let him go and do his thing in boxing for a little bit, and he'd come back and fight MMA for PFL.
Yeah, it depends what the contract says. It depends on the length of the contract. And he also could probably buy himself out of the contract. You know, to be honest, it might cost him a little bit, but he could get out of the contract if he wanted to. With that said, does he want to? He made
$20 million.
He might want to honor that contract for the money.
In his last UFC fight, he made $600,000, and in that. And that was one of the biggest fights of his career. It was in his last UFC fight. And in this Anthony Joshua fight, he made $20 million alone. And I think in that Tyson Fury fight, he made upwards of
$30 million.
Yeah. You don't go back to the UFC after that. You don't go
100%
back.
You might as well become a Walmart creator.
Hey, Bob, what do you think of Junior DeSanto and Alan Belcher?
Junior DeSanto versus Alan Belcher. DeSanto's got the KO in the second round. Started with a big left hook, though. And DeSanto landed it when Belcher was getting up. Belcher did something and kind of slipped. And then he was getting up. DeSanto caught him with that left hook, and it started kind of his downfall. So that was cool to see DeSantos get that. But, again, I feel like us old guys are being used as stepstones now anymore.
Mm-hmm. All right. This is another one I want to ask you about because you know the guy. Sejayo wants to try and make weight as a flyweight. Can that happen?
Henry Cejudo, yeah, I don't know if he can cut that much weight. And it's going back to what Z was talking about earlier, you know. When you go to fight completely familiar with the boxing weight classes, and I'm not 100% familiar with all the UFC weight classes anymore. I was a heavyweight, so I had to worry about. But, you know, the important part, like we had a guy tonight, the important part on any of this is if you're going to cut weight, you have to make weight. You can't be a guy that keeps coming in a pound or two over and then being the bigger guy, you know, by two weight classes coming in.
Right.
So weight classes is really, really important, especially from the fighter's eyes. You know, the crowd maybe might not understand it as much, but Cahuto doesn't have a lot of body fat to lose anyway. You know, I mean, I can knock off 8 pounds pretty much off of anybody in a week just by drinking and not drinking water, but not the most healthy stuff to keep cutting weight like that, like Z said earlier. So
right.
When someone's that thin already, I don't know if he can make it. He'd have to lose some muscle mass.
Okay.
Yeah,
hey, Z, you got to fight.
Oh,
go ahead.
Who's fighting?
No, go ahead.
Oh, no. I just wanted to say, yeah, it gets dangerous when you start losing muscle mass. The body needs fat. That's where your energy stores. So you're going to fight into a fight, and you're losing muscle mass. You don't have that fatness necessarily. You're gonna gas yourself. You're not gonna be as hydrated as you should be. So there's gonna be things that your body's not gonna react right under those stressful conditions. So it's really important when you lose weight, when you cut weight, you can't cut muscle like that.
Hey, tonight they got Zhang versus Joseph Parker. Z, what's your thoughts on that?
Oh, that was on the undercard of Joshua Nagano.
Right.
And Parker, he won by decision. He got dropped twice. But Parker, that's the thing about Zhang. Zhang is he's as good as he is, he cannot be consistent because he can't breathe all the time. He's a big guy, and he looked like he came in pretty good shape. He did more work than he's used to doing, but at the same time, he there's moments to where he's not going to be effective because he can't sustain his activity. Parker's a guy who's always going to be active, and he's a tough guy. He proved that he's a tough guy. Got up and he kept working. So with that said, Zhang is dangerous for anybody because everybody's not going to get up. Everybody's not, not as, crafty as Parker, to be honest. So he's a guy to where if you can make it past four rounds active, he's going to have problems, just kind of keeping up with you. Just because, as I say, he's a big guy, very sharp, kind of has quick hands, very smart with it. Conditioning. Conditioning plays a big part. You're not doing 6 rounds. You're doing 12 rounds. And you can only be effective for 4 rounds. You're only going to be going a certain level when it comes down to stuff like that. So,
Caden, what do you think Mark Royal, with his style and his next fight coming up with LeBeau?
I don't know anything about that. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Okay. I guess that meant Roy Val. Is
Brandon Roy Val. That's his name.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
He had one hell of a fight against Brandon Moreno. I'll give him that in their second fight. I don't know much about the guy he's fighting, but he's a great fighter, and he's gonna be one of those guys that. Is a possible future champ, and for him to go up against Pantoja, his first name. I know he's a flyweight champ right now, and he's one hell of a fighter, very very tough dude. But it's still up flip for grabs with. Actually, I think Figueiredo moved out of that weight class, and Roy Val just beat Brandon Moreno. So honestly, I don't see why Roy Val doesn't deserve a title shot against Pantoja.
Okay. Hey, Z, we got Josh Taylor and Jack Cottrell on the 27th of April. What's your thoughts?
I like Josh Taylor. He's getting up there. He's getting up there in years. He's I like watching him fight, though. He's very, he's skillful, and he has heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's two things to where, you know, he's always entertaining to me. But we have to see, you know, he's taught, nobody beats Father Time, so we're going to see how far, you know, he can take it. But I think, you know, he's going to win this one.
The last one I have for you is Clarissa Shields' split decision with Casey DeSantis. What was your thought on that one?
I didn't see the fight. I heard about it. Clarissa's getting up there, too. I'm going to be totally honest. She's getting up there, too.
Yeah.
And Clarissa is not – like she's extremely skillful, but – when she's in the ring, she fights tenacious. She fights tenacious. And I always said, as much skills as she has, she tends not to use most of them in the ring, you know, because her tenacity usually brings her through. And, you know, her tenacity and athleticism. She's extremely athletic. And as I say, she's smart. But that tenacity can only take, you know, the older you get, the less tenacious you are, to be honest. So, you know, we're going to see her, you know, it's going to be getting closer and closer with her fights to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, guys, that takes us to the end of our script here. Bob, again, I want you to know that you're going to be missed. Hopefully you can get back with us soon. In the meantime, I hope everything goes well with you and your wife, and we'll be looking forward to you when you get down to Florida this summer to have coffee or something like that. It's been a real pleasure for the last couple of years. And like Hayden said, it's been a real pleasure to have you on. Oop. Yeah, go ahead, Bob.
Sorry, I dropped the call there. What happened?
I just said, we were just saying, I was just saying that we've come to the end of our script and that, you know, we really appreciate all the time and effort you've put into the show for the last few years. And we appreciate the time your wife allowed us to take you away and even during your sailing lessons and things like that. We appreciate everything she's done for our country as a service personnel and as a physician, mending our armed forces personnel. So we appreciate it. We hope you can come back real soon. You always have an open mic here, and we appreciate everything you've done.
Oh, God, it's been my honor, and thank you so much. Everyone, it's just been a blessing to be able to talk to you guys and the fight fans and Z and Ty and Caden and Tony and all the guests we've had on, you know what I mean? It just, and you putting it all together, it's just phenomenal. So it keeps me in the game. It keeps me watching. So otherwise I just drift off into nothing. But so hopefully we hire another guy here pretty soon and I can get back onto a schedule because Mama's not too happy about me not having any weekends off now, especially now it's getting close to sailing season. So, you know, she pays more. So, we'll see what gives first. All right. Well, you guys have a great week. God bless. Keep those eyes up, chins down, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Caden.
Man, Bob, I know this isn't a goodbye, more of a see you later. But these past 3 years on the show, me and you doing MMA, it's been great, brother. And it feels like, you know, these past 3 years, I've been now part of a new family on this show, and you've definitely been a part of that warm welcome. And I just want to say, everyone have a great night. Make sure you watch those fights tonight. My boy O'Malley's going to end up on top. And, hope you all have a blessed night.
Do me a favor before we sign off. Tell Colin, welcome back to Florida. We miss seeing him, and we hope he has a safe trip home.
I will.
Okay, Z.
Oh, man. I want to thank Caden and welcome him to the new MMA slot. Bob, man, Bob, I mean, as Caden said, this is more of a see you later. But, I mean, yeah, you already know that you're a living legend when it comes to this. So I'm not going to have too much to say. I will be hearing from you later because I know you love this and you have to be back. So, shout out to you, Bob, and we appreciate everything you've done. Butch, all my Fight Words family, love to y'all. These shows are definitely a memory of Bob, Coach Mel, and Dr. Chris. If anyone is going to say any fighting words, please do call.
Okay. And I want to thank everybody for being on, Bob, especially for taking the time with us. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, please take the time to say hello, wink at them, let them know that you know they're there. They're trying to do a great job in a very tough world. These programs are dedicated to those who've lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Kolkak, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazwood, Patrolman David Curtis, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, Sergeant Tom Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant James O'Connor, Philadelphia Police Department, Sergeant Chris LeBig, Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Anofa Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Josh Meyer, Nassau County Sheriff's Department, Captain Matt Letourneau, Philadelphia Fire Department, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Artith Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Chief Al Hogle, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Deputy Mike Hargrove, Pinellas County Sheriff's Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Trooper Joe Bullock, Florida Highway Patrol, Trooper Zachary Ben, Florida Highway Patrol, Sergeant Chris Fitzgerald, Philadelphia Sheriff's Office, Temple University Police Department, and Sergeant Ramon Mendez, Philadelphia Police Department, and Philadelphia Airport Police. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, and sometime we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the rose rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields, the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your family always in the hollow of his hands. Good night. God bless and have a great week.
flesh and strength and length of days.
County Dispatch to 1999. County Dispatch to 1999. County Dispatch to 1999. All units be advised, 1999 has responded to his last emergency. May God rest his soul and all the souls of the faithful departed. Good night, Bob. We love you and we miss you.